your host, Eric Balance, and this is the Resilient Minds Podcast. Join me as I explore the capabilities of our minds and how our X factor can become our Y factor. Now is our time.
Welcome, everybody, to the Resilient Minds Podcast. You know, I'm sitting here with a dear friend that I've gotten to know just like recently. We've really like kind of like, you know, dropped in. And it's just been such an honor and a pleasure. This man's creativity has allowed me to bring out a lot of my own. And I'm just super, super pumped. Because I think that we're going to have like just an amazing conversation. It's just going to be super fun and flow. And, you know, it's funny because we're both in Tulum, but because of some mic and technical difficulties, we're doing it on Zoom. So I love it because we made it happen nonetheless. And Adam, I'm just grateful to have you here today. Tell us a little bit about what you're up to in the world and what you're super inspired about in this moment, in this time, in this place.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Eric, for having me, bro. We met at the mastermind event for Gerard Adams. And I think I said to you directly, you know, I just was really taken with your, like, I can feel your wizardry, you know, that's what I think when I told you, I was like, wow, it feels good to feel someone who's really deeply in the work. And so it's a true honor to get to dive in with you. Thank you for having me. And for me, Adam Roa, I'm a devotee to the muse of creativity. And so my life is lived in devotion to creativity. And I mix that through my own creative expression, through my music, my poetry, my podcast, The Deep Dive. And I also blend that with my personal development coaching work, because I've been a coach since 2013 in the personal development space. And even before that, for 7 years as a personal trainer. And I've shifted recently into the lens that creativity is the path of our highest evolution. You know, our creative expression is the purest expression of our soul's essence. It's the thing that makes us uniquely us. It is our life force energy moving through us. And so by taking my clients and my online community, which is called Create, it's the Create community, through a path of their own creativity and self-expression, your limiting beliefs, your fears, your doubts, all of the stuff that you do in personal development work, that stuff comes to the surface to be looked at. And when you look at it, when you work through it, you're on the playground of creativity. You're in the expansion of it. You get the payoff of seeing yourself develop and grow and evolve in such a beautiful way. And so, yeah, I've been working with clients doing 3-day immersions, and am launching a 4-month program with Gerard Adams, focused on creativity as well. And so, yeah, that's me, man. I'm a full-time creative.
I love it, dude. And it's something that I think that as I've honed in on, you know, entrepreneurship, because for so long I was just like entrepreneur, like what's next? I got to go and like figure things out. And like on the Resilient Minds, I always talk about how our experiences, they start to cultivate and really decipher our big why, our big purpose. And like, I really truly believe that as we go through this path of life, this journey, this playground, right? Like play, we get to decide what is it that, you know, that we want to create in this world. And like, to me, that becomes like, how do we start enjoying this wisdom of allowing flow to come through our life so that we don't have to always have this, like, know what the outcome is or attached to a certain outcome or the way that it comes, you know, the way that it's supposed to come out. Right. And I believe that, like, you know, we've all had these pivotal experiences in our life that have like contributed to that, and maybe multiple of them. I know I have. Is there something for you, brother, that like has been a complete wow? Like it was a moment where you realize that you are this creator, you are the creative, you can really come out there with like full force and start enjoying this life, leaving a legacy on this playground called Earth.
Well, it's interesting, you know, because I used to love acting in plays when I was a kid, you know, in the school plays and all of that. I loved role playing. I used to play Dungeons and Dragons and just like, I loved using my imagination in that way. And when I got to high school, I was late to puberty. I was a late bloomer and I just took on the mentality that I'm not attractive enough to be an actor. I'm not good looking enough. I'm not that guy. I'm not a leading man. And my brother and sister were both very talented musically. And so in comparison to them, I felt like, well, I'm not the creative artistic type. I'm really good with my logical mind, linear thinking. I'm going to be the businessman and I'm going to be very successful and all this stuff. And so I just kind of took that story on and believed it for whatever reason. And fast forward through to now, where I am truly devoted to creativity. One of the reasons why I share that is because I believe that so many people have this very limited view on what creativity even is. Right now, I am creating. I am creating with my words. I am creating because I'm not reading a script that someone else wrote for me. I'm in this moment creating. And art, even what does art mean? So many people think of art, they think of paintings and drawings and music and dance. Well, have you ever considered that art could be the way that you prepare food or the way that you clean your house or the way you do your taxes? Art to me is the expression of creative energy into tangible form. And so the opportunity exists for people to expand the horizons of what they feel like creativity and art actually is. And by doing so, they will unlock the permission for them to bring more of their creative energy into their lives. And by bringing their creative energy into their lives, they are now allowing more of their soul's essence to flow through them. And there's nothing more healing than that. There's nothing more expansive than that. There's nothing more loving when we talk about self-love than letting more of you be seen by the world, be expressed into the world. And for me, that has been a gradual process, quite honestly, but it started when I finished college. And I had a job opportunity at an advertising agency because I thought at the time I wanted to own my own ad agency and it just wasn't fulfilling to me. And I had this calling to get back into acting and I'd started taking classes when I was in college and I had more fun. I felt more connected. I felt more fulfilled in acting class than any of my business classes. I felt more alive when I was doing acting scenes with a coach than when I was working at the ad agency that I was at the time. And I paid attention to that. And so I made a decision to follow my heart. And I said goodbye to my friends and my family and the job, declined the job offer and moved out to Los Angeles to pursue an acting career. And that act was me saying, I'm going to follow my heart. That's the big starting place for me around that. And I from there have continued to refine what that means and allow more of myself to commit to that.
That's amazing, brother. And first of all, that's huge. And, you know, thank you for doing that because we wouldn't be here if you didn't, we wouldn't be having this moment right now if you didn't make that decision. So appreciate you. And second of all, like how do you think, you know, so many people, you know, I know, and then this was for myself too, like speaking, you know, just from my own experience was like, I've always was stuck in the head, you know, and I always was making these stories of like, didn't pay attention to the feeling, right? Didn't pay attention to what my heart was telling me, didn't pay attention to the wisdom that was coming from my heart. And so when there's somebody listening right now and they're like really curious to say, wow, like, you know I have this feeling, this like element of me like wants to just like wake up and like my head keeps telling me, no, you can't. No, you can't do this. No, it's not possible. You know, the storytelling. Is there something like that you would suggest to anybody that may be going through a similar experience right now? It's just like full unfulfilled and unsatisfied, but like has this deep desire within them and they just don't know what to do or like how to really refine that like ability to center themselves, to take action and like just fully commit.
Yeah, I think that to be honest, like the answer might be surprising to some people, but you don't have to fully commit. Like, I think part of the issue, and I've been this person, is I've been an all or nothing kind of person. So it's, if I go, I'm going to learn the guitar, well, then I need to play it every day for an hour a day, because that's the way that, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. And, that has been kind of my mentality for so long. Especially as a high achiever, you know, I'm someone who was varsity in multiple sports. I got an academic scholarship to college. I was just always a high achiever. And so I take that mentality of work ethic and wanting to be great into anything that I do. But when it comes to creativity and self-expression, it's really to me about exploring what is fun and what is in your highest excitement, because in that energy, you find the motivation to keep going. In the energy of this just turns me on, that is what brings more life force into my body. I'm turned on by, you know, dancing or learning this instrument or painting. Like, it brings more energy into my system to do it. And if I instill some form of rigorous parameters on it because of some logical idea of what I need to do to be great at it, then I can reverse that, and it can become something that's super draining, and it can become something that was an opportunity for me to add more joy into my life has now become something that can drain me and feel like just another chore or obligation. And so for anyone who's wanting to get out of their head and more into that creative expression in whatever way, I start with, okay, what are like two things that you've always wanted to do? What are two things that are calling to you? And how do you start to make it a part of your lifestyle? Not something that you have to do, but how do you make dancing a part of your lifestyle? I recently did a 3-day immersion with, you know, Leo Armad.
Yeah,
I just took Leo through a 3-day deep dive immersion, and he, by the end of it, on the last day, he's like, bro, after this immersion, I have this list of all these things I want to do, you know, singing, dancing, the gym, boxing, like all of these things. And he said, how do you create the time for all of it and still be able to work and stuff? And I said, you don't try and do all of it at once. You know, that's that all or nothing mentality. I said, find the two things that more than anything else, if you could be doing these two things as a part of your daily life, you would be so excited. And then start incorporating it. Imagine if it's dancing, just as a hypothetical. What would it look like to start by saying, every morning, I'm going to dance to two songs. Two songs. I'm just going to put two songs on. I'm going to dance to those two songs. I don't have to dance for an hour. I don't have to take YouTube tutorials or sign up for dance class. If you want to do that, great. But to make it a part of your life, what would it look like to just say, I could do two songs a day? That's, if I want to do three, amazing, but I'm committing to two songs a day. And you're going to find your own love for it. And you're going to find the thing that's going to allow you to make it sustainable in your life. And I think that's the more important thing. This is not a sprint. We're in a marathon, and life is just the journey. And the more fun we can make it, you'll notice 6 months down the road that you're loving going to ecstatic dance. And you actually are so excited to join a dance class and to dance with your friends. And you're doing that naturally because you've now instilled this habit through just slowly integrating it into your life.
Brother, that's, and I think that that's, it's so funny that you're talking about like dancing and like just integrating into your life, because recently, like, I've been way more into like as you're talking, I'm just like feeling like this like flowing movement, right? And today I was working out, same thing, like, and I just got like super exhausted. I was just feeling all this energy going through my body, and I'm on the beach, and like the this beautiful music is coming through me. And at the end of it, I just started like doing this beautiful dance on the beach. And it was just super playful. And it's making it way more fun. And it's allowing like whatever is coming through our bodies to just like present itself unapologetically. And the reason I bring that up is because immediately I think of like self-love. And I remember you expressing a quote that is like, you know, self-expression is the highest form of self-love. You know, something along those lines, right? And
self-expression is an act of self-love, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And that to me, right, just really like, it was like an imprint in my brain. And I think that so much of my own vulnerable insight of like showing up, you know, all I ever wanted to be is like loved. And I realized to be loved, like I just needed to love myself, right? Like be loving. And as I like now get to like step into this like childlike Eric and like super like vulnerable and playful and so fucking loving, like I just want to love out everybody. I feel it like just like the coherence. Like it doesn't, there's nothing to prove. And that is like me self-expressing, because in the past, people would say, Eric, you're too much, or like you've got this like intensity, or like, and I would dim my light, you know, I would hide, I would like, you know, like almost like be worried that I was gonna be like on a burden to somebody. And so my own journey has really allowed me to like just recognize that child inside of me that like my ego for so long was just hiding, like trying to put this wall up because of what people had said. So now playfulness, dance, self-expression, running full tilt into the ocean, like a child, like we did when we were like together, you know, like that is what it's all about. And I really am inspired to like help people be that like mirror. And I know that for you, that expression is also a fundamental purpose, right? So as we step into like people that are looking for their purpose and they're like saying, listen, I don't know what I'm doing, or I don't know how I'm going to do it. I always like to understand, they always want to know how. So what would you say to anybody that is like, well, how do I start doing this? Like, how can we start like dancing or just, and I always would love to say, and I my hallucination is it's like, just do it. But the biggest thing that I think I've identified with is stopping to worry about what other people think. Mm-hmm. And it's allowed my journey to grow, is not holding back. But I'm curious to know, what allowed you to really step into this, your own story of like not worrying about where others were coming from, but really honing into that, like, because bro, I've listened to you speak and I've listened to your poetry and it's like, wow, like I get so inspired. So how have you allowed yourself to hone in that beauty, that creativity, that ability to really just like step into your being?
Well, I'm gonna give like a 5D and a 3D answer. Right, the 5D,
I love it.
Yeah, the 5D answer to this is that you'll care less about what other people think when you love yourself more. That's like, because we're all seeking love. Like that is the thing. We want love. And when we don't feel it for ourselves, we need it from other people. And when we feel it deep within, if you are loving up on yourself, and that's the thing that's important to understand, self-love is the byproduct of the relationship you have with yourself. It's not just this thing that's just like you either have it or you don't. You that just like you have some relationships that you love the person more than the, another person because of the time you've spent together, the depth of connection, the way they've shown up for you, the way you've shown up for them. Similarly, with your relationship with yourself, the deeper love you have for yourself, the less validation, the less love you need to seek from other people. And so you'll care less about what other people think, and you'll be less afraid of rejection, because if you get rejected, you know how to love yourself through that experience. But if you're lacking in self-love, the rejection, the fear of that is so strong because you're not sure how you would get out of it, because the way that you've loved yourself is through other people, and the other people are the ones who rejected you. So now where are you going to find the love? You don't know. And so on that kind of like 5D energetic level, it's that's one answer. And then on a very practical 3D level, there's also just practice. You know what I mean? Like, how do I get better at expressing myself? How do I get less concerned about what people think about me? I get better at what I am doing. You know, my poetry, the more like there's a different feeling in my body about how I'm going to do when I perform if I have the poems memorized versus if I think I have them memorized, but I'm worried I'm going to forget the lines. There's a different feeling in my body when I've practiced a song on the guitar to the point where I can play it with my eyes closed. I can play it in my sleep, and the ability to now play that in public versus a song that I'm just learning. I've trained as an actor and a performer for a decade of my life, studying storytelling, studying scripts, breaking down emotions, learning how to connect emotionally to what I'm saying. That is embodied in me. So now when I step on stage as a quote unquote motivational speaker, inspirational speaker, I have all of that training, all of those years of training of being on stage to pull from, to deliver in a really engaging way. That gives me more confidence, and the confidence translates to being less worried that I'm going to do a bad job and feeling like, okay, well, if people don't like what I have to say, it's because they don't like what I have to say, not because I did a bad job. And that also puts my system a little bit at ease. And that's a very practical thing. If you're worried about dancing in public, you know, around people, you're just like, I'm a bad dancer. Awesome. Dance in private. Get better. Get like dance in private until you feel more confidence in just dancing. And like more comfortable dancing, and you find more enjoyment in dancing, because on a dance floor, you don't actually have to be a technically skilled dancer. You just have to be someone who people can tell you love what you're doing. If you're on the dance floor and you are dancing and you are having a great time, people will love watching you dance, plain and simple.
Oh, it doesn't matter what you're doing, right? Like it doesn't matter what you're doing. If you're just being fun with yourself, like I bet you, you know, like sometimes when I have my eyes closed and I'm like in my space and people are looking at me, I bet you any money, people are like, what is he thinking about? You know, like what is he, just this big smile on my face, just sitting there. I'm certain of it, because like, I'd be curious, you know what I mean? Like, what's that person thinking about, right? So I think that's super fascinating. Now, pivoting a little bit. So I did ayahuasca last week. And I know too. I know that you were on your journey like recently. And I literally was one of those guys that literally sat there all night and had a smile on my face. It was amazing. Like I literally, like it was just beautiful. How was your journey? You know, any insights that you learned, anything that you want to share that was like really powerful for you about like, you know, through these like last few days. And I know that, you know, you're doing a couple of amazing things moving forward. But how do these like journeys, people always ask me, they're like, you know, I don't understand them. Like, why would you do them? Or why wouldn't you do them? Right. Like, but there's both sides of the coin. And for me, it's obviously been a calling, right. For you as well, to like go deeper and like recognize the gifts and understand how we can connect even further to ourselves. But I always love the insight I get. And, you know, I think it was my fifth time this last time I went. And it was by far the most beautiful, magical, like, experience I've ever had. You know, and I definitely am curious to know some of your insights as you've, you know, gone through, you know, this sacred medicine work and, you know, continue to dive deeper. What is it that you feel when you go into these intentions that allow you to come out on the other side to really integrate and bring more of that, you know, loving energy, that loving intelligence to the world?
Yeah, well, plant medicine for me has been one of the biggest schools that I've had in my own spiritual and personal growth. My spiritual awakening came in January of 2013 through ayahuasca. And I recently, last week, went to Arcana Spiritual Center and did 2 psilocybin journeys and 3 ayahuasca ceremonies, as well as a bufo, which is 5-MeO-DMT, and a sweat lodge. So there's a lot of ceremony in a week. And for me, I hadn't sat in an ayahuasca ceremony in a year and a half, but I now am probably at about like 50 of them in my life since January 2013. And so that sometimes looks like, you know, last week, 3 in a row, and I have another one next week. So it'll be 4 in like a 2-week window. And then sometimes I'll go a year and a half without doing it, right? And so for me, it's always about honoring the calling. I can just feel, wow, I think I'm going to be sitting soon. I can feel the medicine calling to me. There are people right now listening to this who've never sat and can feel in their bodies, even when I say that, are going, I feel like I'm going to be sitting soon, or I'm almost ready. I can tell. And when I get that, it's like, okay. And I open myself up, it shows up. It shows up, and the opportunity presents itself. And for me, the thing that's important to get across around plant medicines for people is plant medicines show us what's possible. Plant medicines give us an awareness to what's possible for us in our lives through our connection to spirit, through our own intuition and inner knowing even. And then it's up to us to do the work, to integrate it, apply it, and do our best to return to that space without the medicine. And where people get caught up or lost sometimes in this world is thinking that the work is the medicine. The like doing the medicine is not the work. That's not actually it. Doing it is like going to your guitar lessons and being taught something. Now you go home and you practice every day. Yeah. Practice it. That's how you actually learn to embody the medicine. And I think that we are, you know, in Western society, especially, but human nature, there's a lot of desire to just have it happen right away. And so, oh, I went into the medicine space and I felt oneness and love and I felt forgiveness for everyone. And I could see how all the triggers I'd been feeling and everything is, I let it go. And then they go back to their regular life and all of that stuff returns and they go, oh my gosh, light, there's something wrong with life. And now I'm going to go back to the medicine and I'm going to go back to the medicine. I'm going to go back to the medicine. I'm going to stay in the medicine space as much as possible as a way of avoiding the fact that I am resistant for whatever reason to actually doing the work to integrate and embody these lessons into my everyday life. And I think that for me, I won't go back again until I've embodied it. I won't go back again until I feel like I've checked all the boxes of what I was told to do. Yeah. And what I was told to do this last time around, there was a lot of forgiveness. There's a lot of forgiveness for myself, for others, deeper understanding of even how much of me was holding on to hatred and resentment for myself, a younger version of myself, the teenage version of myself that I used to think was arrogant, and the teenage version of myself that I used to judge so harshly and who did things that I'm not proud of today. And sure, I've thought to myself, oh, I'm so happy with who I've become, but that's different than forgiving who I was. And yeah. So that was a huge theme for me in this last week. And so now my integration process has been just like being patient and watching what unfolds, because another big aspect is when you go through something like an intense ceremony experience and you have major shifts internally, your external reality is going to shift. So I sit back and watch, because I'm going, okay, something's going to shift. There's going to be new people who show up in my life. There's going to be new opportunities that show up in my life. There are going to be people who I used to talk to that I may not really feel resonant with anymore. Stuff that I was working on, I might not want to work on anymore. Maybe I have whole new ideas that are more exciting. A lot will shift. And so I'm in the space, because of how recently this all was, of just kind of the observation right now.
I love that. I think that, and the observer is such a powerful place to be, right? Like, I can tell you that, like, these moments where we really get to, like, observe and then receive as we observe, like, discern what that looks like for ourselves, right? What that looks like in our reality. I know that for myself, that discernment is so important, because it's like, how do I want to, like, really activate this in my every single day? You know, how do I want to, like, live and integrate that so that it is in alignment with my integrity, or with the way that I want to, like, execute my vision or my passion or whatever the case may be. For myself, it's always been like on purpose. Like, how do you live more on purpose, Eric? Right? Mm-hmm. And like discerning those visions and observing the things that are like coming as the observer. I really think there's a lot of wisdom in it. And I think that there's a lot of like opportunity to recognize the opportunity to pay attention. And when we pay attention, I think that that silence, that that element of like surrender, like you're saying, as this observer, it really comes. I mean, at least for me, right? Like for me, that like that element of observation, that element of like, and then there's like you get to see things that maybe have triggered you in the past, and you get to like have compassion to now, and you recognize these different experiences that may have guided you to like where you are today. Like there was a day where like, I remember I was like downloading and I just felt everybody's presence. Like I would look into people's eyes. I felt everybody's presence. And I really recognized how everybody has guided me to like this moment where I was sitting right now. And it's like, it was so beautiful. Yeah.
Literally the people who are listening to this right now, I want you to understand you're listening to this where you are because of every decision you've ever made. The reason you're listening to this right now is because of the culmination of every decision you have ever made in your entire life. That's why you're listening to this right now. And that the profundity of that is magnificent. It's beautiful. And it gives such weight to everything that we do. Like everything we do in every single moment is the result of everything we've ever done. That's such a beautiful viewpoint that for me also adds such a depth of presence to what we are choosing to do. Because if one thing leads to the next, the actions I'm taking right now are shaping the experiences I'm going to have when I'm 70 years old.
and the next generation of like your children or your grandchildren or whatever the case, right? Like, that's so beautiful to know.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Like having the awareness of like what we decide to do is going to affect the next 7 years of our ancestry is like really powerful. And like we get to be the ancestors for the next seven generations, right? But, you know, brother, like, I can talk with you about this all freaking day, right? Like, just go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. But I know we don't have all that time. So I really want to just like transition a little bit to some of the poetry. So I know that you had spoken, and actually, I didn't know this because Virginia, I think, had posted this. So one of your views of you speaking on Mind Valley stage had 200 million. Is that correct?
It was actually at a Kyle Cease event. And then Goalcast. Yeah, Goalcast. I did a poem at the event, and Goalcast saw it and made a video out of it, and you know, added music and some stuff, and they posted it, and it's gotten 200 million views on Facebook.
Wow, mm-hmm. Bro. And do you want to share like a Cole's Notes version of what that was, and then so I can have a link in the I'll put the link of that video in the show notes at one point.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the poem is called "You Are Who You've Been Looking For," and it is essentially the poetic expression about how we can love ourselves more. The message is about self-love. One of the key lines in it is treat yourself like someone you love. And I think that, yes, as I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast, I have a lot of training as a performer and talent in that way. And to me, it's an indication of how badly people are ready to receive that message, how ready people are to be reminded that they are worthy of loving themselves and that they are who they've been looking for. And I think that art is the highest leverage way in which we shift human consciousness. I believe that, you know, personal development work teaches us that true change happens in direct correlation to our emotional bodies. Like when you have any sort of expansion moment, it's because you've expanded more deeply into what you're feeling or allowing yourself to feel. There's a cathartic release of sadness or anger, or there's a deep, blissful experience of oneness and love at a deeper level than before. It's this emotion that expands us, but true change happens when it sinks in at that emotional level. And art is the permission slip into someone's emotions. The moment that someone is listening to a song or watching a movie, they are saying, okay, I want to feel something. That's why we listen to music. That's why we watch movies, is how it makes us feel.
And we do so, everything is we want to feel, right? Mm-hmm. Most things.
And so like sometimes, you know, we might read, think about the difference of reading a romance novel versus reading a textbook. About like a math textbook. There's a different feeling, and the feeling around a romance novel is because someone sees that as an artistic expression. It's an author, right? Which is the written artist. Whereas a math textbook, there's an author to that generally, but people aren't seeing that as an artistic expression. So they're receiving it differently. And so I feel like in every medium, when we can make it artistic so that people are giving it permission to make them feel something, we've just elevated the ability for that expression to actually shift their consciousness. And so I've been a coach for many, many years. I still coach. Most people don't even realize this because my social media platforms and my podcast and all of that has focused on a lot of my art and my expression in that way. So people view me as a musician or a poet or a filmmaker or whatever. But, you know, most of my income and most of my living as and career over the last 8-9 years has been as a personal development coach. And I just realized everything that I'm teaching, everything that I'm coaching my clients and in my group programs and et cetera, I can put it into art. And if I do that, I feel like it has the potential to shift the mainstream, like the masses, far more than anything. If I had just been on stage talking about self-love, I don't believe that it goes viral like that. But because it was a poem, because it was art, all of a sudden there's hundreds of millions of views. And so my whole design now is around how do I put all of these messages into art, put that art out into the world so it can impact people and help them shift their consciousness as deeply as they can. And from that place, I have, you know, if for people who want to go deeper, great, listen to the Deep Dive podcast, go to my YouTube channel, join my online community, thecreatecommunity.com. Those are the places where if you want to learn and be taught and apply it, that's where that is. And not everyone wants to go on that journey, and that's totally fine. In the meantime, go listen to the music on Spotify, right? Like go listen to the poetry out there. And so I see it as all working together, but I do think that art is the way that we can reach the most amount of people and shift consciousness at the highest level.
It's like that, and comes back to just being creative and it like recognizing that this level of consciousness that we have, the higher we're able to tap into that altered state or ability to like really shift our own perspectives, the more creative we can become. And like, to me, that becomes so about like asking the right questions, you know, the quality of our questions, right? Like we'll determine the quality of our relationship or quality of our life. And I really like, if we start asking ourselves these questions, how can we start like thinking outside of the box? Because for so long, we've been put into a box that we like just been wrestling. I know I've been wrestling to get it out of it, you know, like, let me out. I want to figure out how I can do it better for myself and for my family and for others. And, you know, the more that we can like be creative and like think of all of these like tremendous things that we have in the world, they all come from creativity, from people like expanding their minds. Mm-hmm. So I have a question. When it comes to like people that have a different point of view, you know, when it comes to your...
Fuck them. You know, yeah, that's the answer. Them. Right there.
and when they show up and they're like, you know, like they have a different point of view, they don't want to like, what is it that like, how do you show up with love and compassion? Or do you just say, fuck you?
I think that the biggest thing that's helped me shift around all of this is that I don't think I'm right. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's an empirical truth here that's, yo, I'm spitting the gospel. I'm the one with the answers. No. My perspective, I've explained on this podcast why I believe why art is so important. I've explained why I believe creativity is a path for our highest soul's evolution. I've explained all that. There are other people who might believe that chanting and mantras and Vipassana style meditation are the way that you develop the furthest along, or plant medicine work is the way, or Kundalini yoga, or you know what I mean? Whatever it is. And they're not,
or any religion or whatever, right? Like it doesn't, yeah. Like,
they're not wrong and they're not right. You know what I mean? Just like I'm not wrong and I'm not right. I'm just simply providing an opportunity for you to understand why I believe what I believe and decide for yourself, does it work for you? That's ultimately what's the biggest thing. Is it something that is generating a life for yourself that is full of more fun, more joy, more love, more abundance, more connection? Is it doing those things? And is it doing it without causing harm to other people and infringing on their right to a life of more fun, more joy, more pleasure, more abundance? And if the answer is yes, it's working for you, and no, it's not causing harm or infringing on people's ability to make it out for themselves, then good for you. Keep doing it. Don't change it. Keep doing what works.
I love that. And the reason I ask, literally yesterday I had a conversation too, is like there was, I was having a conversation with Christians and we were talking about like religion and all these like cool things around like their belief system and my belief system around spirituality. And we were like, it was such a profound, loving conversation where we could both like have different questions and different viewpoints, but like come together at the end of it and just like pure love, like pure connection, pure like, I appreciate you. I love you. This was amazing. Like, thank you for this expansion. Like, and how we can like continue to do that around the world is so important because we all have these different ways of thinking that is so important. And like that evolves a different perspective into a different way. And it starts asking different questions of like, if you're not looking into a question that maybe you haven't had that perspective before, you do now. And like, that I think is like the most profound thing of what's happening now in the world is like this element of travel, of connection, of conversation, of like wisdom from each other's points of view and having it in a way that is like total compassion. Like, cause we're all doing the best we can with the knowledge we have in this moment. Do you agree?
Yeah. And I think that compassion is the external manifestation of self-love. And so what happens is when I have not learned how to love the part of me that it has doubt around the existence of God, if I haven't learned to love the part of me that gets angry when people disagree with me, if I haven't learned how to love the part of me that has judgment towards other people, then when other people are exhibiting those qualities as a reflection to me, they're going to trigger that within me. And I'm going to want to push them away. I'm going to get triggered in a space of anger or resentment or judgment in ways that don't have to happen. But if I've come to terms and peace with the part of me that goes, man, I really just want to punch someone in the face when they say some stupid stuff about that I consider to be racist, right? Then when I see someone that's out committing an act of violence or a hate crime, I can actually go, wow, I have that in me. Like I know where that stems from. I deal with it entirely different ways and I don't need to take it out on other people and I don't agree with what they believe, but I understand where that comes from. I've tapped into that little part of me that little part of me that goes, man, I want to punch this person in the face right now. I'm just going to woos off for a second. Okay, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it and find healthy outlets for it. I'm going to write a poem about it. I'm going to sing about it. I'm going to dance about it. I'm going to go to the gym around it. I used to do, you know, I was a wrestler in high school. I trained mixed martial arts. I'm going to get it into a safe fight around it with someone, you know, roll on the jujitsu mat or something. But I can at least understand where that's coming from. I can see it. I can extend my self-love out to them, which is compassion. And so many people are not willing to look at those aspects of themselves and learn to love those aspects of themselves. And as a result, are really incapable of extending that compassion to others when it shows up. And we're seeing that right now. The hot button topic is vaccinations, right? Like that's the thing that it seems like, and people are arguing about it. People are losing friends about it and it's divisive and all of this stuff. And I'm going, where is the compassion? That's ultimately my question. Where's the compassion in this experience? We don't have to agree. We don't have to agree. I was raised Catholic. I'm not Catholic. I don't believe in any particular religion. And yet I know that for people who are practicing religion, there's a belief in a higher power that we share. So instead of killing each other over the fact that we call our religions different things, why aren't we celebrating the fact that we feel the presence of a higher power together? And that's the part to me that I will continue to kind of preach from the mountaintops.
Oh, I think that that's such an important component to it. And I think that having that ability to recognize that we are still disconnected entity, or like to this like connected and all togetherness, and like love is it all. Love makes it all go round, you know, like is really the fundamental concept. So brother, I know we have a few minutes left, and I want to just honor that. Before we go, I have a few things. So first and foremost, if anybody wants to like connect with you or what you're up to right now, where's the best way to connect? What are you, you know, where can they find you? What's happening in the world, in your world right now?
Yeah, so we're in the midst right now of a website redesign. So I think this will come out in the next couple of weeks. So the website will be done. So adamroa.com is the hub. If you really like kind of my mentality on things, I have a podcast called The Deep Dive, and that's everywhere, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever, The Deep Dive with Adam Roa. If you want to actually learn and get into some personal development school, so to speak, thecreatecommunity.com is that place. And then I'm on all the socials. I have a YouTube channel. I have an Instagram, Facebook, et cetera.
Cool. I'll make sure I have all those put into the show notes as well. One more thing. So if you had 3 days left to live, brother, what would you do?
If I had 3 days left to live, I would throw a massive party. I would throw a massive, massive, massive multi-day party. Some plant medicine would be in there, just good music, all the people that I love. And then I would probably spend my last, at least last 8 hours on my own and just sitting, reflecting, maybe even writing, or actually to make it easier because it's time sensitive, I'd probably just record a bunch of videos with my final thoughts to leave behind.
Oh, bro. I love it. You're amazing, dude. I honestly, Adam, I honor the creator that you are, the love that you give, the passion that you just share. You're such an incredible human. I honestly, like the moment we met, I just had this like strong connection with you, and I really appreciate you. I look forward to spending more time together, you know, co-creating in this world, doing fun things and playing.
I want to come out to Brazil, bro. I want to come out to Brazil. I've never been.
Yes, I can't wait. So I have to come out to Brazil. I really, you know, I look forward to having you and spending time together, going into the waterfalls. But bro, like, thank you so much for just all your wisdom, all your love, all your passion. I'm just super grateful. Thank you, brother.
Yeah, thank you for having me, bro. It's such a pleasure getting to know you even more. And until next time, sending so many blessings your way. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Cheers, brother. Ciao.